I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership. Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Coming up this hour, should we be looking out for the Packers? That's coming your way in 18 minutes from now. Also, at 25 minutes past the hour, the 12 days of Christmas kicks off as we have our first four out. The four greatest moments of the year that didn't make the top 12. Friday begins our countdown from number 12 to number 1. College football playoff rankings, everybody talking about them. I thought that the playoff committee got it right. I don't like the fact that winning a conference championship is not mandatory. I would prefer that you have to win your conference title game, because why else are we playing the conference title games? If the conference title games are not a requisite part of getting to the college football playoff, why are we bothering to play them? So I would rather either not play the conference championship games and have that be the first round of an 8-team playoff, or make them mandatory. Because right now, they're kind of like bowl games. It's football, but it doesn't really matter. I mean, don't get me wrong, the SEC and the ACC title game were play-in games, so that was fun. But Alabama didn't have to even play in that, and they get in. Last year, Ohio State didn't even have to play in that. They get in. But until they change that as their guidelines, as long as it is the top four teams of the country, Alabama's one of the top four teams of the country. Ohio State is not. Alabama is one of the top four teams of the country, and I'll tell you why. Number one, there is nobody in the SEC that Alabama would have lost by 31 points to. Nobody. Nobody. And let me ask you, Alabama at Iowa this year, what do you think happens? You think Alabama loses by four touchdowns and a field goal at Iowa? Hell no. The equivalent is basically what happened with Alabama a couple of weeks ago on the road against Mississippi State. And the Bulldogs had them on the ropes, but Alabama found a way to win. The equivalent for Ohio State would be if Alabama went to Mississippi State and lost by 31. Come on. Ohio State Buckeyes fans want to tell me more top five wins, fine. More ranked wins, fine. Conference championship, fine. If I put Alabama and Ohio State on a neutral field right now, Alabama is favored. Dabo Swinney. Who do you think he was pulling for to get into the conference, to get into the playoff on Sunday? Do you think he was going, oh boy, I hope we get Alabama? Of course not. Clemson, by virtue of being the number one team of the country, has the gift of having to play Alabama, who is favored against Clemson. Everybody in this tournament would rather face Ohio State. Alabama has the best odds in Vegas of winning the national championship. Alabama will be favored not only against Clemson, but whoever they play in the championship game if they get that far. You want to argue who's a better football team? We can argue credentials all you want. Credentials, credentials, credentials. But what the committee is telling you is credentials don't matter. That might upset you. That might bother you. I understand why. Like I said, I'd rather it be a requirement to win your conference. But until the committee has just said credentials don't matter, we're taking the best four teams. Okay? Now, getting to the best four teams, you hope that some of those credentials factor in. But if it's the best four teams, you can't make the argument that Alabama's not a better football team than Ohio State. And for all of us with Alabama fatigue, that's fine, I understand. But Alabama's taking advantage of a down year in the Big Ten and the Pac-12. Had Ohio State not tripped up against Iowa, or had Penn State not blown the lead against Ohio State or lost another game, had USC not lost twice, Alabama wouldn't be in. But by virtue of two of the power conferences having a down year, I mean, the Pac-12 wasn't even considered. It opened up the door for Alabama, and they walked through. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. If you want to weigh in on that debate. DA on CBS on Twitter. Watch us as well. The simulcast going on as we speak. WatchDA.com. That's on your phone. It's mobile friendly. As for the Chiefs, low. Save me. If I am a Chiefs fan right now, I have no more hair. I look like Mraz and Bilotti. I am completely bald from pulling it out. They were 5-0. They are 6-6. And they have found every way to lose six of their last seven.
Third down and goal at the 1 foot line. Matt Forte, the lone setback. Quarterback sneak. Josh McCown. Is he in? Jets move the pile. They think it's a touchdown. Here come the officials. No signal yet. It is a Jet touchdown. Josh McCown forces his way into the end zone.
I'm sick of hearing Alex is the reason why this team isn't winning. I mean, he played his tail off, and we went out there and we battled, and, you know, it's any given Sunday for a reason.
Travis Kelce yesterday after the win by the New York Jets. That was Bob Wischusen on Jets radio with the call. I'm telling you, this is the meltiest of meltdowns of all meltdowns by the Chiefs. They are a puddle mentally. Finally, Alex Smith looks downfield and looky what I have here. Instead of doing that the last couple of weeks, he's been captain check down. Everything conservative, everything underneath. He finally let her rip. He found Travis Kelce. I mean, they had no answer. None whatsoever for Tyreek Hill. The dude caught 185 yards worth of footballs on six catches. The Jets, it was like Tyreek Hill had invisible ink on him. Who's that? Never saw him. I'm supposed to cover that guy? So on the day Alex Smith actually throws for 366 and four touchdowns, the defense is putrid. I mean, the Jets shouldn't score 38 points over 2 weeks, let alone in one game. The Jets had a 14-0 lead in the first 5 minutes of this game and blew it. On the most Chiefs drive ever, the Jets trail late. They trail by 2 points. They trail by 1 point, 31-30. The Chiefs have taken the lead on another Tyreek Hill bomb. It's 31-30 Kansas City. The Jets go on a 14-play drive. It finally stalls to where they're going to kick the field goal. And on that field goal attempt, it's good by Catanzaro, but penalty on the Chiefs. Unnecessary roughness. And so they extend the drive. They get to third and goal. Incomplete to force another field goal. Defensive holding. You've got Marcus Peters throwing the penalty flag into the stands and being kicked out. Had the Chiefs simply held the Jets to a field goal, which they had, the Jets would have led by 2 points, 33-31, and then the Chiefs could go down the field to kick the game-winning field goal, which they were in position to do, having driven 56 yards. However, from the Jets' 19, they had to go for it because they were down by a touchdown because all those penalties led to a Jets score and two-point conversion. It is the most meltiest time of the year for the Chiefs, and look no further than Andy Reid. You can't have this many things go wrong and it not be on the head coach. Yeah, there's leadership issues on the field. Losing Eric Berry in week one is coming back to haunt them. Alex Smith was putrid the last couple of weeks. But on the day that Alex Smith finally shows up and plays well, the defense melts down. On the day the defense plays well, the offense can't get out of its own way. If it's not one thing, it's another. The Chiefs have invented this season remarkably weird ways to lose. The weirdest. I mean, losing to the Giants at a field goal fest? Losing to the Bills 16-10 at home? This all coming out of a bye when Andy Reid's supposed to be a genius. Out of a bye, Andy Reid always wins. He's lost to the Giants, the Bills, and the Jets out of the bye. That's been his run out of the bye. They've lost to the Cowboys. They've lost to the Raiders. This is a team that has now lost, out of their last six games, five of their losses to non-playoff teams. Everything's gone wrong, and I feel for Chiefs fans because early in the season, it looked like at 5-0, best team in football, Alex Smith MVP candidate, a legitimate threat to the Patriots and the Steelers. They had beaten the Patriots on opening Thursday night. This was a Chiefs team that looked and felt different, and now it looks and feels the same. In fact, it looks and feels worse. This is absolutely on both Andy Reid and leadership in that locker room for being unable to fix it. The day the defense shows up, the offense doesn't. The day the offense shows up, the defense doesn't. On easy plays, hey, man, just don't beat yourself. They can't help themselves. This is awful, pathetic, humiliating. And frankly, I don't want to see the Chiefs in the playoffs. Because what? We get another one and done with Alex Smith? Captain Checkdown? No thanks. Give me the Raiders. At least it's the Raiders in the black hole, Derek Carr. Give me the Chargers. At least it's Phillip Rivers playing in a soccer stadium, which is quirky enough. Look, I love Arrowhead. I love Arrowhead even more on playoff days. It's one of the most wonderful sports experiences I've ever had, and Chiefs Nation deserves a Super Bowl. They have put up so much. They're one of the best fan bases in America. But this year, I don't want to see this team in the playoffs. Because it's going to be one and done. It's going to be dreadful. Come on, do I need Titans at Chiefs wildcard Saturday? Do I need Jags at Chiefs wildcard Saturday? Oh, I don't think so. Now, do I need Titans at Chargers wildcard weekend? No. No, I don't need that either, but I don't need to see the Chiefs melt down yet again. I'm not interested. I'm just not interested. It's the Ravens, and it's the Jaguars, and it's next on ESPN. It's your wild card Saturday. I mean, Mraz, woof.
I'm ready to go. Couch, wings, nachos, watch some bad football. McDonough and Gruden on the call.
You know, Sean, what I really like about this team is full of football players. They really know how to grind it out, Sean. I'm ready. It's the Titans and it's the Jags, and it's next on Wild Card Saturday. When we come back, we should be looking out for the Packers and the 12 DAs of Christmas. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Zapped while the sun is out. DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Hundley under center. He takes. Hands it off to Williams. Off the right side. Has to bounce it off to the outside. Makes the turn. 20. 15. 10. 5. To the house for the touchdown.
For me right now, it's just finding consistency in what I do, finding ways to win. You know, this game isn't about throwing four touchdowns or running for 100 yards as a quarterback every week, but sometimes you got to do it. It's just finding those certain ways to win in given situations.
Yeah, Brett Hundley, you only got to find one more way to win against the Browns next week, because then, thank goodness, Aaron Rodgers comes back. Welcome back. That was Packers Radio on the Call. DA with you. Remember, we are on your phone multiple ways. You can download the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music to listen to us. Watch us at WatchDA.com. We are mobile friendly. Watch clips of us on YouTube. Just simply search CBS Sports Radio. Or anything you may have missed is on iTunes. Mike and KC tweets, DA, week three of the NFL, the AFC West was inarguably the best division of football by far. Fast forward 10 weeks, it's a giant steaming pile of manure. Yeah, remember when it seemed like Chiefs, Raiders, Broncos were three of the best teams in the AFC, all in the same division? Now, 6-6 is tied for the lead. DA, the Chiefs again, Mike goes on. They beat the two best teams of the NFL, the Patriots and Eagles, the first 2 weeks of the season. Unbelievable. There has never been a switch, a 180 like this through this season of the Chiefs to look that great and now to look this bad. Dana tweets, thanks for the commentary on the abhorrent behavior of Gronk and the plausible deniability of the Patriots organization. Frustration is not an excuse for that hit. He should be suspended and fined. If I got frustrated at work and did that to a coworker, I'd be jobless and assault charges filed. Well, we shouldn't compare our job places to what they do, because right before that play, they're running full speed and smashing into one another. So what is allowed for assault on a football field is a lot different than when we go to our offices. But from a football standpoint, look, guys don't get called for penalties all the time. That's not an excuse. That's what Gronk was saying. Hey, man, I mean, they're calling everything on me and nothing on him. Well, how many times in your career do you think you deserve to get an offensive or a defensive pass interference and didn't get it? Did that give you the right to spear a guy from behind when he's laying on the ground with his face in the turf and hit him from behind and give him a concussion? It was classless. It was gross. And the Patriots organization consistently gets away with employing bad behavior because they win and because they have so many lackeys in the media that carry their water and call it the Patriot way. But whether it's the Gronk hit, LeGarrette Blount, Rodney Harrison getting suspended for taking HGH, whether it's signing Albert Haynesworth after the guy paralyzed another driver going 100 miles an hour in a Ferrari, whether it was giving Aaron Hernandez money as he's carrying out murders, whether it's getting docked picks for both Spygate and Deflategate, or Brady being suspended 4 games for obstruction of the investigation, it consistently hits the Patriots. And we just keep saying it's just the Patriot way. They get all these guys. Somehow, they find all these guys. I mean, how'd they find Gronk? How'd they find Edelman? How'd they find Hogan? How'd they find these guys? Oh, my God, they're so great. When it's just a laundry list of bad behavior and breaking rules. The Green Bay Packers, you better watch out for the Green Bay Packers, because I laid out what had to happen last week, and I said they're in a one-game playoff right now. If Brett Hundley can beat the Buccaneers, they're in play. And we had left the Packers for dead at 5-6. And boy, when they got shut out a couple of weeks ago at home, it really looked awful. But all they had to do was beat the Buccaneers at home yesterday. Because if Brett Hundley could figure out a way to do that, they're going to beat the Browns next week. We know that's a layup. It doesn't matter who your quarterback is. I mean, sign Brandon Whedon for the day.
Brandon Whedon's a bum. Colt McCoy's going to be gone. Jason Campbell we just signed. He's a bum.
They just needed a win yesterday. That's it. And they end up winning in overtime. They beat the Buccaneers. Now they're going to beat the Browns. And then they get Aaron Rodgers back for the final 3 weeks of the season. Now, who knows? I mean, Aaron Rodgers might win two of those three. One of those three. Oh, of those three. And it wouldn't matter. But when you get Aaron Rodgers back, Now you get a jolt of life. Now you're a totally different team. Now you feel like you can beat anybody. All the Packers need to do now is roll over the dead Browns. Now, I'll give the Browns credit. Yesterday, they actually played a frisky game against the Chargers. Josh Gordon, you know what? Sober Josh Gordon, pretty good Josh Gordon. Hell, I guess drunk Josh Gordon was a pretty good Josh Gordon. But getting Josh Gordon back, a couple of those plays, you go, well, there's nobody on that field for the Browns that can do that. But the Packers will beat the Browns because the Browns are going 0-16. And then you get, at 7-6, Aaron Rodgers back for the final 3 weeks of the season. And who wants to play Aaron Rodgers in the final 3 weeks of the season? And who wants to play the Packers if they slip in at 10-6? Who wants to play that Packers team? You tell me. Oh, I would say that they are very much alive, boys and girls. Very much alive. 855-212-4CBS. Twitter, DA on CBS. Let's get to the 12 DAs of Christmas. And as I've mentioned before, the 12 DAs begin in earnest on Friday. But today, tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday, we've got the first four out. Kind of like bracketology, Joe Lunardi figuring out who the first four teams out of the big dance are. So let's give you the first of the first four out.
It's the most wonderful time of the year. Counting down the weirdest, craziest, and downright most mothershipping moments of the year. The 12 DAs of Christmas to all, and to all, a good night.
Wow, okay, so let me ask you, Mr. Six.
From what I heard, it was a little bit more of spitting that happened.
Mraz, you spit on somebody?
I was talking very loudly.
Oh,
and
my God. Now, kidding me.
I'm Roberto Alomar, all right? It's in my past.
Your honorable Uncle Futrelli is bringing the robe out of the closet. D.A., this is unacceptable that we have unaccounted for and unpresent staff members due to a little mini nor'easter. I can't have it.
Well, a couple of years ago, I read that you had suggested that maybe you had created a monster in Paul Simon. Do you still feel a couple of years later that way?
I'm not so interested in.
He ate something that comes out of the dog's wrong side, and he ate it and then admitted it.
And I thought I had dropped the chocolate chip on the ground, so I rushed to pick it up and pop it in my mouth to save the dog from instant death. Instead, only to realize that taste was not the chocolate. It was a long morning for me.
The time is now.
On January the 17th, Bart Scott was in studio with us for the night. We were discussing good-looking older women. I believe that Bart had brought up Beverly D'Angelo. Mraz decided to go with one of his favorites, Doris Roberts. Who is that, you might ask? The mom from Everybody Loves Raymond.
Oh, yeah, let's get it.
You remember her, right, from...
They can call me. I mean, depends on what their net worth is.
It's all about the net worth, huh?
Doris Roberts, I think, still looks good.
Doris Roberts?
Everybody loves Raymond's mom.
You're weird anyway.
Come on.
She's got a nice face, a little mean on her bones.
Doris Roberts? Doris Roberts? Look at Doris Roberts.
Whoa.
Oh, come on.
Whoa.
What? Come on. No way.
Hey, man, listen.
Just realized she died in April.
Oh, God.
She did look good, though.
She did. He saw old glamour side of her.
Oh, my God.
Rest in peace,
Mraz.
Doris. I'm sorry.
You are terrible.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man, Mraz.
Wow.
Wikipedia, my bad.
I am the epic fail.
That is humiliating.
She looked good, though, before she went.
What? You can't clean this one up, man.
No, there's no way.
I could be a chubby chaser.
Are you serious?
Got a nice face.
What? What's pick a... Never mind. Let me stop. Stop.
Let's
That's my list. No way.
Okay, that's it. Doris Roberts was also the drunk grandma Frances in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation and played the grandmother on Full House of Granny Tanner. And that was 25 years ago.
First of all, I can't believe that there are things better than this. Second of all, I would rather you think that they spoke Egyptian in Portugal, whatever it is, than ever think that she was attractive near the time of her unfortunate passing. I mean, come on, Sean. I mean, just further proof that your opinion carries no water on anything.
It's the first four out for the 12 DAs of Christmas. When we come back, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Finally great to be a part of the Intergalactic Swag Party. Commissioner, come aboard.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
39 minutes past the hour. DA with you. Remember, you can always watch the show not only live at watchda.com and the digital simulcast, but also it airs on loop. The most recent episode airs there, plus Sunday Morning Football airs there as well. So the last time we were on the air, just runs on loop at watchda.com, so you can always catch us. You can always waste time on the channel. Also, the best of clips always on YouTube every single day. You heard Bogish mention it. Ben McAdoo, the beacon of light, the beacon of hope, just got the zig. Rightfully so. Let me just frame to you how remarkable this is. Ben McAdoo oversaw the two most productive years of Eli's career from a statistical standpoint. 14 and 15 were Eli's best years, and McAdoo was the offensive coordinator. Hot shot OC, offensive mastermind from Aaron Rodgers and the Packers offense. So McAdoo takes over. Offense takes off. Eli's great. They didn't win anything those years, but Eli was great. He gets promoted to the head coaching job and last year goes 11-5. Now, they lose that wild card game in Green Bay, but management is all about Ben McAdoo. Again, McAdoo now has 3 years of evidence that he is the right man for the job or at least a productive member of the organization. OC for 2 years, Eli's best years, and then first year head coach, 11-5, with a team that could not make the playoffs under Coughlin the final four seasons. He gets fired 12 games into this year. The Giants don't fire anybody midseason, ever. The Giants gave Coughlin year after year after year, and in fact, really staved off his firing two other times even before that, before their other Super Bowl runs. People wanted Coughlin out in 06. They wanted him out in 07 before they went on the Super Bowl run. They wanted him out in 11 as well before their second Super Bowl run. Go back. Jim Fossil. People wanted out Jim Fossil quicker than they pulled the trigger. Before then, Dan Reeves. People said, get rid of Dan Reeves. The game has passed him by. He brings nothing to the table anymore. Before then, they gave Ray Handley, arguably the worst head coach in Giants franchise history, 2 full seasons. They went from winning the Super Bowl in 1990 to 8-8 in 91 to 6-10 in 92. They allowed Ray Handley to finish the second season. They stuck by Bill Parcells when Bill Parcells was 3-11-1 in his first season. And they fired Ben McAdoo after going 11-5 last year with a month left in the season.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
So let's start there. Why? Because Ben McAdoo's ego was so remarkably huge, artificially huge, he had lost everybody. He had lost defensive players. He had lost offensive players. He had lost respect. He had lost the locker room. He had lost the media. He had lost the fans. He lost everybody. This is a guy that wants to be Mr. Tough Guy. Tony Tough Guy. But he wasn't that tough. This was a man that insisted on sticking out his jaw and taking on all comers. But the Giants never had a tough streak. They weren't a tough team. And Ben McAdoo last year, they were 11-5 because the defense was great. The offense was terrible, which is supposed to be his unit. Ben McAdoo was supposed to be the play caller. They stripped play calling duties away from him. And then the coup de grace, not only are players quitting on him, not only does he sound tone deaf, but he calls himself the beacon of light, which, by the way, I'll never let go. Because nobody in your life who is a true optimist tells you, hey, I'm a real optimist. They call me the beacon of light. You don't need to say that.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
Not only does he not give off any positive vibes with that dopey slick back hair and that 100-yard glazed stare, not only does he not give off optimism, nobody ever calls anybody a beacon of light. That's not a nickname. Hey, man, there goes Ben Beacon of Light. Hey, there goes Beacon of Hope. Beacon of Hope, you want to catch a beer after the game? And then if they are, they don't tell you. Guess what my nickname is? Beacon of Light. You moron. But on top of it, the Eli Manning situation was botched so brutally that they had to pull the trigger. And now Jerry Reese gets the zig as well. And Jerry Reese has won two Super Bowls. Jerry Reese has drafted Landon Collins. Jerry Reese has drafted Odell Beckham. Jerry Reese helped draft player that supplemented the 07 team that won a Super Bowl. Jerry Reese found Victor Cruz. Jerry Reese found a lot of players. Signed Olivier Vernon. Signed Snacks Harrison. Important pieces. But Jerry Reese also was basically tethered to every time it seemed like he was going to get fired. Came in to save the job at the end with a couple of signings or a Super Bowl run. And so now they clean house, which they needed to do. Reese and McAdoo fired. Reese's offensive line woes, linebacking woes have gone back forever. Both those guys needed to get the door, and they got the door today. But now there's only one thing that the Giants can do. Start Davis Webb for 4 weeks. Geno Smith is a non-entity. He doesn't matter. Do not start him. You don't need to see three and outs from Geno Smith. And frankly, I don't care if Davis Webb isn't ready. I don't care. You throw him in there and you lose games 45-3. Number one, it helps you in draft. If you lose out, you're the number two pick in the draft. Number two, if you're going to have the number two pick in the draft, you better find out whether Davis Webb is ready. And you know what? If he's not ready and loses the first four games of his career, fine. Then you draft Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, or somebody else. Sam Rosen, he's a little past his playing prime, I think. That's the only solution right now. And Ben McAdoo was so unliked, had such a monster ego, botched things so dramatically that a Giants organization that never pulls the trigger quickly pulled it. And let me tell you, you've never seen rats off a ship like you've seen with the Giants fans this season. A Giants fan base that shows up every Sunday, pays for season tickets, been in the family for three generations, fills up MetLife Stadium, filled up Giants Stadium. This year was like, no. And what they did to Eli turned everybody. And finally this season, revolt. Giants fans revolted. And this is what management is reacting to. I think they could deal with 2-14 with Odell Beckham's injury, Brandon Marshall. I think they could deal with losing. They could say, well, he's a young coach growing through it. What they couldn't deal with was complete dysfunction and the entire fan base turning on the organization, rats off a ship. Mraz, is this a happy day for you?
I say this not being a troll and with full honesty. today is the best day in Giants franchise history since Super Bowl 46.
So since they won the Super Bowl.
Right. I'm
which
saying
is only 5 years.
But still, they had an 11-5 year. This is pure glory. And not just for McAdoo, Jerry Reese, as Ian Rappaport is reporting, let go as well. Numero uno, because he has botched draft after draft after draft and put the Giants in this hole. This is the best day ever.
Giants make the change. Jerry Reese, Ben McAdoo out. You got to start over, blow it up. You got to start Davis Webb now. That's the only way to save the final 4 weeks for any type of integrity. It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Sign up to be an O'Rewards member today. Start earning instantly. O'Rewards members earn $5 back for every 150 points you earn. Fast, easy, free only at O'Reilly. See store for details. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Daniel tweets, DA, what do you think? Who gets the final wild card spot in the NFC? Is it the Seahawks or is it the Falcons? Well, I think that both those teams could be in the mix and both those teams could end up in the playoffs. But if you're asking me to pick who I trust more down the stretch, I actually trust the Seahawks a little bit more. And I trust the Seahawks more because Russell Wilson's playing at a level to where he can carry that team right now. I don't feel the same way about Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan's too up and down for me. I feel like even with the injuries, Russell Wilson is playing so above and beyond that he could squeeze in there. Now, the Panthers are in that conversation, obviously, and look out for the Packers as well. The Packers are 6-6. They should beat the Browns to go to 7-6, and then they get Aaron Rodgers back. And if Aaron Rodgers comes back, they can easily run that table the final three. 10-6 could get him in. But if I'm asked who I trust more down the stretch, Seahawks or Falcons, because it could be both, give me the Seahawks because of Russell Wilson and what he's doing right now. Let's get your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Gronk's dirty play yesterday set me off.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Well, you know what? It's time for DA's history lesson on the New England Patriots, okay? Let's sign a guy that just equivocally quit on his team last week, refused to play for a team because he didn't like how his playing time was being divvied up.
Tough guy in the corner of the bar.
Also part of a weed arrest and a hot box incident earlier in that season.
Brady played with a sports hernia for the whole year.
Remember when they signed Albert Haynesworth after a stomping incident? After one time where Albert Haynesworth was driving his Ferrari 100 miles an hour, slammed into another car and left that passenger partially paralyzed? Remember that whole thing?
Because he's not smart enough.
Patriots didn't mind that. They would sign him. How about that whole Spygate thing?
And Dork get all the hot girls.
Where the New England Patriots were fined the largest amount ever in NFL history for a coach, $500,000, and docked a first-round draft pick. Or then that other time with Deflategate, they had their star quarterback suspended for 4 games because he wouldn't cooperate with the investigation.
Big bad Peter Pot Scott.
And they were docked a first-round draft pick and a fourth-round draft pick. And a $1 million fine. Oh, and then there was this really small incident where they gave all of this money to a murderer. Remember that thing?
Who's he calling a tough guy with his toe? Rex Ryan could have sucked on him with the foot fetish. He's a baby.
It's nice that the Patriots have so many media cronies that want to defend them at all costs and like the quote-unquote Patriot way. So that we are brainwashed into thinking this is a clean organization that does things the right way because, well, hell, they found Julian Edelman. Instead, time after time after time after time after time after time, they proved to be one of the dirtiest franchises in the NFL. How much more do we need to see?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Joe tweets in, RIP Ben McAdoo as head coach. You nosed it all up. You completely angered New York, and your team gave up on you. But hey, you're the beacon of light, the beacon of hope. Later, dude. Would you ever hire Ben McAdoo on your staff ever again? Which is ironic because, again, McAdoo was a very successful coordinator with the Giants his first 2 years working with Eli. But this guy's ego ran amok. And I think last year going 11-5 was the worst thing that ever happened to him because he thought he had all the answers. He thought he could be the tough guy. I always felt as though he looked at pictures of Bill Parcells in that organization and said, I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to be the tough guy. And look, you need a certain element of toughness in New York to deal with the media, to deal with the fans, to deal with the expectations. But you don't have to be a jerk about it. And what he didn't realize, he failed to realize, was last year he went 11-5 because Odell Beckham was the ultimate weapon to bail him out on offense, and his defense was really good. And he thought it was all him. He thought he was the smartest guy in the room. When all it was throw Odell slant patterns and hope to win 21-17. And now you got it. See you. That will do it for us this morning here on the DA Show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. And thanks to Andrew Kaplan. A great job as always. Capper at WatchDA.com, the simulcast. When we return tomorrow, we've got a Trash Tuesday in the hopper. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA, and the mothership disconnects.
I'm the beacon of light, and I'm the beacon of hope.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.